Hello, and welcome to the Finding Emet radio program. Emet is the Hebrew word for truth. This program will help you understand and live the truth of the Bible from a Hebrew perspective. The Finding Emet radio program features the teaching ministry of Brother Daniel Rendelman of Emet Ministries. Prepare your heart to receive the Emet, the truth of the Scriptures. More audio lessons and teaching articles are available at the www.emetministries.com website. Please visit our site to find all things spiritual, including a free online Bible search program, or submit your prayer request. That's www.emetministries.com or www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Let's welcome our teacher, Daniel Rendelman, as he helps us find the Emet.
Magnified and sanctified be his great name in this world, which he has created according to his will. May he establish his kingdom during your life and during your days and during the life of the whole house of Israel, even swiftly and soon. And say, Amen. Amen. Let his great name be blessed forever and to all eternity. Blessed, praised, glorified, exalted, extolled and honored, magnified and lauded be the name of the set-apart one. Blessed is he. Though he be high above all the blessings and songs, praises and consolations which are uttered in this world, and say, Amen. May he who makes peace in the high places bring peace upon us and upon all Israel, and say, Amen. Hallelujah. The name of this teaching is called the Fantastic Four. Now, some of you are familiar with Fantastic Four, at least in theory, of a movie, of comic books, of characters. There's video games, there's Halloween costumes of these characters, the Fantastic Four characters, which were created by Stan Lee. Are you familiar with Stan Lee? All right, I've got a couple Stan Lee fans in the room. And Stan Lee created the Fantastic Four for the comic books, and there were these four characters involved. And with these four characters, we see, number one, that they were. This was done in 1961, and this was really one of the first comic books with these supernatural mutant characters that actually came out. It changed the whole comic book industry because these were not just people like Batman who had, you know, really good gadgets, or James Bond, but people with supernatural power. Now, there was a major motion picture for it in 2005, a sequel in 2007, four main characters with superpowers. They had superpowers and the strength to do amazing things. So we had in these four, we had Mr. Fantastic. He had the little gray hair on his temples. Reed Richards, that's right. We have Reed Richards, and he was also Mr. Fantastic. Now, he actually represents for us, as we're going to learn, his power was, I mean, he could pretty much do anything, right? I mean, he could stretch to go anywhere. But there was also the Human Torch, and he just, you know, would say, flame on, and would fly up in the air with this superpower of being able to fly and turn into fire. There was the Thing, one of my favorites, just all stone kind of a guy. And there was the Invisible Woman. The Invisible Woman. So all these characters would work to save lives from evil. Who was it that would fight against them? Doctor Doom and different characters that would come against them. It's interesting because each of these characters actually represent different powers. The Invisible Women, the power of air. Mr. Fantastic, the power of water. Now, how does that fit? Water takes the shape of anything that it's poured into. And so could Mr. Fantastic. The Thing, of course, the power of earth. And the Human Torch, the power of fire. The power of fire. And we see that the characters in the comic book series represent these elements of creation. And they are found throughout every culture in the world. So with earth, wind, and fire, and air, there were these elements that are in every major religion. They're found in Asia, they're found in the Chinese, they're found with the Indians. They play a part. And so as we begin, the first thing I'll say is be careful because of counterfeits. Be careful over counterfeits. Various cultures and groups have understood parts of what we're going to talk about today. But through the Ruach HaKodesh, through the Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to see its fullness. And I'm going to show you that earth, wind, fire, and air, the biblical Fantastic Four, is like a Bible code for us today. Because they give us a lot of insight into things that you never would have thought they would. Events in history, going back to earth, wind, fire, and water. We're going to see that the restoration of Israel has to do with these four elements. Yahweh's plan for man. Even how to experience deeper spirituality goes back to earth, wind, fire, and water. Now, in the context of the Bible, these items provide a lot for us, as we're going to see. In the context of the Bible, we learn a lot about life from these four elements, about the biblical history, about actually the salvation message. We're going to show you the salvation message today, Yahweh's plan for man, why certain things happen, and how to experience deeper spirituality. In these four elements, we're going to see all of this actually take place. All this actually take place. Now, as we begin to look at this, we're going to see that each one is a puzzle. Each one of these numbers and each one of these elements is a puzzle because it's not just earth, wind, fire, and water, but it's so much more. It is so much more than just earth, wind, fire, and water. So these aren't just elements, but they're actually active forces of Yahweh. So everybody say active forces. That's right. These are things that follow the will of Yahweh. Now, before you think we're getting into New Age stuff or we're worshiping, you know, the ground or anything like that, that's not what we're doing. In Hebrew, this is called the Arba Rukot. Arba Rukot. A-R-B-A-R-U-C-H-O-T. The Arba Rukot. And the Arba Rukot is a Hebrew phrase called the four winds. The four winds. So everybody say four winds. Four winds. That's what these are actually. They're not just elements, but four winds. That each element and each wind represents and reflects the personality of Yahweh and actually spell out his name. How many letters are in the name of Yahweh? Four. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. So we're going to combine the four winds or the four elements with other fours, and we're going to be given a divine path of understanding. Indeed, each day, every single day, as you live, you are experiencing the Fantastic Four, and Yahweh is speaking to you through these. You walk on the earth. You feel the wind. Maybe you're blowing your hair with a hair dryer. You are warmed by the sun, and you're washed by the water. But you experience these each and every day, these four elements. Now, what we're going to also see is that the number four is also highly symbolic. The number four is highly symbolic. When we study or when we read something in English, numbers are just numbers, letters are just letters, elements are just elements. But in the Bible, everything is not only true in the sense of physical, but there's a lot of spiritual and symbolism behind it. Now, we know this, that the number four of here of our Fantastic Four is highly symbolic. And you might say, well, why four? Why four? Why are we going to talk about four? And as we look today, I'm going to be able to answer that. Number one, four is the number four is considered to be the number of the kingdom. The rabbis call four the number of the kingdom. And in Hebrew, the fourth letter of the alphabet is the dalet. the Dalet, and it actually looks like a door. As we begin to understand the Fantastic Four, this is a door, like a Bible code, this is a door to greater revelation of the Scriptures. Because you are going to see the four winds and these four elements from Genesis to Revelation all throughout the Bible, and from now on, you're going to have a renewed mind and a Hebraic sense of what that means. So as we begin to read in our Torah portion, for example, about the plagues of Egypt, and you find out that it was an east wind that brought about some of the plagues, and that east wind was reversed to take away those plagues, you're going to be able to understand what that wind means greater when we're done today. Now, four is a number of the earth. The Bible speaks that there are four corners of the earth and there are four winds. There are four cups in the Passover Seder, four cups of wine. There are four letters in Yahweh's name. There were four matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. The Scriptures and the Jewish Talmud speak of four guardian angels. There were four rivers out of the Garden of Eden. You have four corners that you put your tzitzit on. We have the four species at Sukkot. Not just a generic number. There's four species at Sukkot. We have the lulav and the etrog, which all equals four. There are four ways to interpret the Scripture. Perhaps you're familiar with this, Pardes. There are four ways to interpret the Scripture. There's Peshat, the plain and simple. If it says, that's what it means. There's Remez, that would be the hint. There's the Drash, that would be the imply, or the what is come about when two or three people discuss and drash it. And then there's the Sod level of interpretation, which is what you would call the mystical or esoteric meaning of Scripture. So there are four levels of that. There are four phases of the moon. We know that there are four seasons. There are four tides. There are four directions, north, south, east, and west. Mankind is fourfold. We're emotional, spiritual, physical, and we are mental. In Ezekiel chapter 1, there are four living creatures. Remember that? And in Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, we see those same four creatures again. So Revelation 4, 6 and Ezekiel chapter 1 show these creatures again. And the rabbis, for certain reason, they call the number 4 the number of the kingdom, because it says in Genesis 10, 5 that men were divided into lands, into tongues, into families, and into nations. 4. The number 4 is highly symbolic for us to consider. And as we talk about this Fantastic Four, this is a door to greater understanding of earth, air, fire, and water. Now, the Zohar, which is an interesting book. Zohar means enlightenment, or actually brilliance. Brilliance, there you go. And it is a Jewish book that was written, believed to be before Yeshua. The Zohar is an interesting book. It actually means brilliance in Hebrew, and many believe it was actually written, as you said, by Avraham, and it tells us a lot about the Sod level of Torah. Well, the Zohar says that the humans, or man, was created from the powers of the four winds, and by investigating further, we're going to see that each of these four winds or four elements are a cluster of meaning and purpose. So what we're going to do is look at each of the four, and we're going to pair them up. So they're going to be given a letter of Yahweh's name, a direction of the wind, an archangel, a face from the tetramorph, a corner of the world, and even more. Now, the tetramorph, that was that creature that Ezekiel saw that had like an ox on one side and an eagle on the other, a man on the other. Remember that? That's where we're going to go and talk about that. So where do you see this in the Scriptures? Where do you see the four winds throughout the Bible? So let's look at a couple passages here. So let's look. Genesis chapter 41, we'll begin there. So turn with me to Genesis 41 and Exodus chapter 10. In Genesis 41, verses 6 and 7, it says, this is dealing with Joseph and with the dreams that he had had about the famine and what actually happened. He says here, after them, seven heads of grain sprouted. Remember the dream that he had of the that Pharaoh had of the wheat, and that some of the tares ate up the other tares, just like the cows. Well, it says in Genesis 41:6, after them, seven other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven healthy, full heads. And then Pharaoh woke up, for it had been a dream. In Pharaoh's dream, he sees an east wind coming, making these smaller heads of grain, eating up the larger ones. And we're going to see that an east wind in the scriptures is coming from Yahweh, who is in the east, and it's usually a punishment or judgment. So that's Genesis chapter 41, 6 through 7. In Exodus chapter 10, verses 14 through 21, we see with the plagues upon Egypt. Exodus 10, 14 through 21, it says, and Moshe stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and Yahweh brought an east wind upon the land that day and all that night, and it was morning. The east wind brought the locusts. So what did the east wind bring? The locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. They did not eat every herb, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees, which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees, or in the herbs of the field, throughout all the earth of Egypt. And then Pharaoh called Moshe and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against Yahweh and against you. Now therefore I pray, my sin only this once, and entreat Yahweh your Elohim that he take away this from me. In verse 18 of Exodus chapter 10, it says, and he went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yahweh. And Yahweh turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt, but Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children go. So the east wind brought the locust, the west wind took it away. Interesting. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 6, we also see it's talking about the winds blowing in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 6. And in the book of Acts, remember the mighty rushing wind that came into that room? In Matthew 24, verse 30, as we will look at a few times today, Matthew 24, 30 talks about what many call the rapture, Matthew 24, 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. And then shall all the tribes of the land mourn and shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heavens with power and great glory. And the next verse, and he shall send his heavenly messengers with the great sound of a shofar, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of the heavens to the other. Wonder what that means, the four winds. We're going to talk about that. In Revelation chapter 7, and we just read it in Matthew 24, it says the angels will come from the four corners and go to the four corners of the earth to gather the elect. Well, in Revelation 7, verses 1 through 11, it says this. After these things, I saw four heavenly angels, Melakim, standing on the four corners of the world, of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the world, nor on the sea or on any tree, until what? The righteous were marked. The 144,000 were marked. And they were sealed. That's exactly right. That on the four corners in the Shemayim, in the heavens, were these four angels holding back the four winds of judgment until the 144,000 were sealed. Ezekiel 1, verses 4 through 7, it says, and I looked, see, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, a fire flashing itself. Splendor was around it, and out of the midst of it, like the color of glowing metal, out of the midst of the fire. Ezekiel 1, verse 5. Also, out of the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And as for the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man, the face of the lion on the right side, remember that, The four had the face of an ox on the left side and also the face of an eagle. It's called the tetramorph. This creature here, and do you notice where it came from? From a whirlwind out of the north. Isn't it odd that there could be a creature like that? We find out that the north wind, or the northern direction, is the area of mystery. The area of mystery. So the Fantastic Four, we see these paired together. So let's begin talking about the east. If you're taking notes, we're going to talk about the east first. The east. For the tetramorph, this would be the lion. This would be the lion. And I would say that this is the element of the air. So in your Fantastic Four, that would be, I guess, the Invisible Woman. You could even pair it with one of the Gospels, Matthew, as Yeshua was referred to as the king. And I would say that this is the letter of the hay. And out of the archangels, Gavriel. Gavriel. Gavriel literally means the strength of El. Like Gevura is Hebrew for strength. Gavriel means the strength of El. Of course, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the strength of El, the right hand of El. The east is the air, the wind of counsel and balance. You could even say the thought process. That east is the direction of the Garden of Eden. It is the presence of Yahweh. When they were in the Garden of Eden, they were in the east. And where did Yahweh banish them to? He banished them eastward. Isn't that interesting? He banished them eastward, which we'll see later, he meant for them to come back. And we're still returning. The east corresponds to our ability of thought. You've heard the phrase, a cool breeze of reason. Interesting that in Daniel chapter 6, verse 11, that Daniel faced east when he prayed. Daniel faced east when he prayed. And today in many Jewish synagogues and in Jewish homes, there's the Mizra wall. The Hebrew word Mizra. Mem, Zadi, Resh, Hey. Mizra. And the Mizra wall isn't where the husband goes because he's miserable, but the Mizra, that was supposed to be a joke, Maggie. You're supposed to laugh. Maybe not. The Mizra wall is the wall that was towards the east. So in many Jewish homes today, you've got the Mizra wall, which is set apart by maybe a picture or a plaque or something, and it tells you which direction to pray when you pray. So I encourage you, find your Mizra wall at home, and you would pray in that direction. East is where the sun rises. And east is the symbol of Yeshua, the light of the world, because the sun is a symbol of Yeshua, the light of the world. Did you know that east is the direction in which Yeshua will return? Matthew 24:27. As lightning comes from the east, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. From the east, from the Garden of Eden, from Yahweh's presence. East is symbolic with Yahweh's presence. It was the east wind that brought about the judgment or the Gevurah and punishment of Yahweh. The east wind brought about the drought upon Egypt. All right, couple verses. Hosea 13:15. Exodus 10:13. Hosea 13:15. Exodus 10:13. Jonah 4:8 states that it was the east wind that made Jonah's boat sink, or actually made Jonah kick him out of the boat before it sank. It was going down. It was caused by the east wind coming from Yahweh. Haggai 2:17, Exodus 10:19. All speak of the east or the Mizra wind. Jonah 4:8. The east wind is called a hot wind in the Septuagint, a burner. Doesn't that make sense? Coming from the east. So that's coming from Yahweh. So if you're facing east while you pray, you're facing the wind coming from the east, are you not? And what did we say the wind was? It was a punishment or a strong wind, a wind of judgment. So when we pray, did you know that the word for prayer in Hebrew is tefillah? Tefillah. And do you know what the word tefillah means? It means to judge yourself. Isn't that interesting? To judge yourself. Tefillah? T-E-F-I-L-L-A-H. Not sure on the Hebrew, but T-E-F-I-L-L-A-H. It means to judge yourself. So you're facing the east wind. You're judging yourself as that wind blows upon you. The miserable wind. So let's talk about the west a little bit. The west is the letter He as well. And this is a picture, I believe, of the eagle. And this would correspond to the element of water. Water. West in Hebrew is the direction of the sea. Of the sea. The word yam in Hebrew for sea, it means both westward and seaward. Westward and seaward. Many times the NIV mistranslates yam, and it says right. It says right, which we'll talk about more in a little bit. 70 times the King James translate the word yama as westward, but it literally means seaward. Here's what's interesting. If you are standing in Israel, which is the east, then to your west is the Mediterranean Sea. This corresponds to our emotions, kind of like being swamped by emotions of the water. Now, we saw in Exodus chapter 10 that the west wind reversed the punishment of the east wind. The west wind is understanding through drash, through discussion. And in Hebrew, it's also called ma'arav. Ma'arav. M-A-A-R-A-V. Now, ma'arav means evening. Ma'arav or ma'ariv, it's evening prayers. Ma'ariv is the prayers in the evening the Orthodox Jews do when they pray the Amidah three times a day. They pray them in the morning, in the afternoon, and then in the evening, the ma'ariv. The evening is a time and place of mixing. Isn't it when day's ending and night is beginning? And that's literally what ma'arav means. It means mixing. And it's symbolic to us of things that come from Yahweh. In Israel, the west wind brings the refreshing winds of the latter rain. The early rain comes from the east. The latter rain comes from the west. Now, we said this is the letter He in Hebrew, which is the number 5, the number of grace or chesed in Hebrew. It's interesting that the letter He appears twice in the name of Yahweh. This shows us the power of Yahweh's grace, chesed. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, 11 and 12. Psalm 103, 11 and 12. This is the idea of binah, or understanding. Giving you lots of information. We're going to bring it together. Don't get lost on me. Let's talk about the south a little bit. The south, for the tetramorph, that creature in Ezekiel was the ox. And this element would be of the earth. Isn't the ox the most basic land animal? It just works the ground. And this would be the archangel of Michael, Michael. Which means, who is like El? South is a direction of the earth. And of course, we know, what does it say? The earth is Yahweh's footstool. The Jewish Targum says in Joshua 15:19, the earth is the south. It's pretty clear. Joshua 15:19, the earth is the south. And it refers to us being like solid as a rock. In the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16, Shir HaSharim, Song of Solomon 4:16. It says, "Awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind, blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat of his pleasant fruits." But the south wind is pushing man northward. The north wind is pushing man down southward, which keeps him stable. I'll show you that in a few minutes. In the book of Psalm, chapter 78, verse 26, it says that Yahweh sends his power by the south wind. Power is given when the south wind blows upon man. Man responds, as seen in Isaiah. So let's look here in Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. Everybody with me? It's easy to get lost. We're going over a lot of stuff. Everybody with me? Isaiah 11. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Yishai, a netzer, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Ruach HaKodesh of Yahweh shall rest upon him. The Ruach, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, Chokmah and Binah, the Ruach of counsel and might, the spirit of Da'at and the fear of Yahweh, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." That when the south wind blows, or the power of Yahweh blows upon man, that we have understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. Now, how many remember Aleph, Hebrew letter Aleph? Aleph in Paleo Hebrew was written by drawing an ox. The Hebrew word for ox is Eleph. Eleph, like elephant, but Eleph. The ox, of course, is symbolic of the animalistic nature in man, what we have to overcome. 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive to the obedience of Yeshua. And in the letters of Yahweh's name, this would be the Vav. The Vav. Which, by the way, is the number 6. What was 666? The number of man. Vav is the number of man. On the sixth day, man was created. In Hebrew, it's the word darom. Darom. And the south is kind of a picture of us in our animalistic natures doing our own thing. But there are 6,000 years of man, is what we're told by the Jews. A day is 1,000 years. There are 6,000 years of man and 1,000 years of Messiah. Darom. Now the north, which would be what's left, right? The north. For the north, this would be the face of man, I believe, off the tetramorph. I'll explain why. The element of fire. Talked about a fiery northern wind we read about earlier. This would be the archangel not mentioned in the scriptures. Anybody want to guess his name? The archangel not mentioned in scriptures. Michael's mentioned. Gabriel's mentioned. Uriel. Uriel. Which Uriel literally means fire of El. So those four angels in the book of Revelation, at the four corners, holding back the four winds, Uriel is one of those. North is the direction of the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of Yahweh. The word for heavens in Hebrew, Shamayim, or Shamayim, Shamayim. It literally means the fiery waters. The fiery waters. Isn't that what's in the heavens? And this corresponds to our ability of passion and desire, that the flames of passion, you could say. Fire illuminates our path. It purifies us to walk in the light of Yahweh. Now, the word for north is Zaphon. Zaphon. Everybody say Zaphon. Zaphon. And this is the word in Hebrew that means north. It also means mystery or hidden. So if you're talking about a hidden mystery in Hebrew, you would say Zaphon. If you're talking about the north, you would say Zaphon. Through Yeshua, this is good, we can ascend the heavens, the Shemayim, and understand the Zavon, the hidden mysteries of the Sod. Remember we said it was Peshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod? Through Yeshua, we can understand the Sod. We can know the fire of Yahweh. This would be the Hebrew letter Yod, number 10. The 10th letter in the alphabet, the number of Yahweh. Did you know that the Yod is the only letter in Hebrew that does not touch the line on a page of paper? If you look up here, look at Judah, the lion. And it's Yod, Hey, Vav, Dalet, Hey. The Yod is just that like comma suspended in the air. The Yod is the only letter that does not touch the line in Hebrew. The Yod is suspended up in the air, in the north. Judah, Yod, Hey, Vav, Dalet, Hey. Interesting side note, since you opened up the can of worms. That's all right. Yod, Hey, Vav, Dalet, Hey. That's how you spell Judah, right? What did we say that the Dalet is symbolic of? The door. What did Yeshua say? I am the door. In Judah's name, the Jews, it spells out their path to Yahweh through the door of Yeshua. But the only difference between a Jew and Yahweh in the spelling is the door, Yeshua. Wasn't Yeshua Yahweh's presence? Wasn't he the door? Wasn't he the king of the Jews? So the Yod is symbolic of our full potential. It's to become like Yahweh. But it's also Zafon. It's also a mystery. What about application? How does this apply to us today? How does this really apply to us today? Does the Fantastic Four really teach us about the plan for man? Let's consider a couple things. Number one, east is the Garden of Eden in the east. That's where Jerusalem is, Israel. It's a picture of Yahweh's presence. The east wind blows in a straight line. Ezekiel 43:2-4. Ezekiel 43:2-4, it says, I saw the glory of Yahweh coming from the east. Now, we said that south is a picture of the earth, the place of man. That our wind, our will, our spirit, our ruach blows in a straight line until it meets the east wind. The east wind is the things of Yahweh. So when our paths cross, we decide we're either going to yield to Yahweh or continue on our path towards the what? The north. What is the north? Zafon. What is that? The mystery. People in the world, they don't know what they face. We have the assurance of Yahweh, Yeshua. So if we continue towards the north without Yahweh, then we're in trouble. But our wind and our will continues to blow north until we submit to Yahweh's Spirit. Amen? Isn't that what happens? If we do not choose to submit to Yahweh, if we do not choose to submit to Yahweh, then we're going to continue north. But if we choose to submit to Yahweh, though we end up in the south, the place of man, His east wind will blow us in what direction? To the west. So if we do our own thing, we're starting in the south for man, doing our will, the place of man, we will end up in the north, the place of mystery. But if we yield to the Ruach HaKodesh, then what happens? Our ways become His ways. We're starting in the south, we're going our way, and then we yield to Him. We yield to Him. Now, we're going west. The north could be considered exile. Very good. Definitely. The north could be considered exile. Our ways become His ways in the west. Who remembers what the west was? The eagle? What's the word for west? Ma'ariv, okay. Which means what? Mixing. It's in the west, when we go along with His will, that our ways mix with His ways and become His ways. Now, we don't stay in the west with the western mindset, amen. But where does that west wind blow us? Back to the east. To Zion, in a full circle. In a full circle. That's what the wind does. Now take a look here at our ways. We're meeting Him. We're coming up from the south. The wind is blowing from the east. And it's mixing with Him until it fully and totally becomes His way. Isn't that when we can say, as far as the east is from the west, Yeshua has removed our sins from us? Psalm 103:12. When we allow His wind or His spirit to blow upon us? I'll show this to you again. But the four winds are held by Yahweh. It says in Revelation 7:1. Now this is not a great calm, but being restrained from blowing into a whirlwind, consuming creation. That even today, Yahweh allows the winds to blow to bring about His ways. 7:1, Revelation 7:1. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or any tree. We read a little bit in Matthew 24 that it says when Yeshua returns, He's going to send the angels to the four corners of the earth to gather the elect. Well, the Fantastic Four, all of these elements, are heavily involved in these days with the return of Yeshua. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Let's look there. Proverbs 30, 4 and 5. Proverbs 30. When you get this, it's amazing because you'll be reading in the Scriptures and it'll just pop out at you. You'll see the word east or wind or earth or wind or fire, and you'll be like, wow. Proverbs 30, 4 and 5. This is one of these great verses we can share with our Christian brothers and sisters. Who has ascended into the heavens or descended? Who would that be? Yeshua. Who has gathered the wind in His fists? Who has bound the heavens in a garment, the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is His name? And what is His son's name, if you can tell? Every word of Yahweh is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in Him. But the binding of the winds in His fist, that is Yeshua. And that today His name is being glorified and taught greater and fuller than ever before. He's releasing some of those winds, is He not? So that we could know and better understand Him. But the winds are now blowing towards the restoration of all things. So blow on your neighbor. I'm joking. Don't do that. That's what's happening. You don't believe me? Turn to Acts 27. Turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. Now we're not going to read the whole chapter. But if you read the whole chapter of Acts 27, what's it a story of? Acts 27, Paul and his shipwreck. And in Acts 27, it actually tells us that his boat was blown by the winds for 14 days. By the four winds for 14 days. Why is that important? Because it led to Paul and the other prisoners being released from prison and saved from death. That the winds of Yahweh are blowing now to restore the nation of Israel. How is the nation of Israel restored? When people come to the knowledge of Yeshua and their identity as Israelites. In Acts chapter 1, they came to Yeshua. They said, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth, preaching the gospel. But as we teach others about Yeshua, the true Yeshua, that's how the nation of Israel is restored. That it was the four winds blowing in Acts 27 that saved them from destruction. However, the winds also mean destruction for others who aren't following Yahweh, Yeshua. The winds do not push us away from Him. Praise Yahweh. They push us towards Him. They push us towards Him. And in Matthew chapter 7, we see what's going to happen a little more. Matthew chapter 7. But the winds are blowing now. They're going to continue to blow. And as the end times occur, they're going to blow even stronger. So in Matthew chapter 7, it says, starting in verse 4, "Theresoever, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew." Do you notice a connection there between the rains, the flood, and the winds? Go back and read Genesis chapter 10. It says that an east wind blew and stopped the rain from falling with Noah and the flood and the ark. But here, back in Matthew 7, it says, "The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 26, "And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." We are to be founded upon Yeshua's words and not be tossed by every wind of doctrine. Amen? But we are told in the scriptures that the wicked are like chaff blown by the wind. We are to be strong in Yahweh. We are to be strong in Him. That the winds will herald the rebuilding of Israel. We know that Judah and Ephraim will come together in the end days. Amen? I said amen? Amen. I said amen? Amen? Trying to get Melanie to say it. Okay. We know that the winds will be a part of that. Hosea 12:1. It says, "Ephraim, the 10 lost tribes, feeds on wind and follows after the east wind." Hosea 12:1. "Ephraim feeds on wind and follows after the east wind." Which way does the east wind blow? Towards the west. What is the west? The Ma'ariv, the time of mixing. Isn't that what happened to Ephraim? Weren't they mixed into the nations? Didn't they lose their identity? Yet we also know that the east wind pushes towards Yahweh. That in these last days, Yahweh is pushing us towards Him. Hosea 13. This is interesting. Hosea 13, verses 12 through 16. "The iniquity or the sin of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is hidden. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he shall not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. Though he be as fruitful among his brethren," isn't that Ephraim multiplying? "An east wind shall come. The wind of Yahweh shall come upon the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, the fountain shall be dried up, he shall spoil the treasure of the pleasant vessels." And it begins talking about how that east wind, if you continue reading in Hosea 13, will blow upon Ephraim. And guess what? Ephraim's going to be like that prodigal son. And then we'll say, "I will arise and go back to my father's house." Let's finish in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 is a chapter about the restoration of Israel. Ezekiel 36, about Israel. I love it when people come to me and they say, well, we have a new covenant. The law is now written on our hearts. And I say, where is that found in the Bible? And they say, New Testament? No. Where is that found in the Bible? Ezekiel. And do you know what it says? It says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Who's the new covenant made with? Israel. Israel. In Ezekiel 37, everybody there? Are you enjoying? You think? Oh, amen. Okay. Ezekiel 37, the hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh, set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was very man in the open valley, and lo, there were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, this is Ezekiel 37:3, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahweh, you know. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath, spirit, ruach to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring upon flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews, and the flesh came upon them, the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy. And say to the wind, thus saith Yahweh, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. And you will know that I am Yahweh when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, Yahweh, have spoken it and performed it. Then Yahweh came again, saying, moreover, son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, for the children of Israel, his companions. Take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for the house of Israel, his companions. And join them together into one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. Did you know that when Israel was traveling in the wilderness, Judah camped to the east, and Ephraim camped to the west. And he says, take from Judah, take from Ephraim, and make them one new man, one new stick, and I will remember their sins no more. As far as the east of Judah and their sins is separated from the west of Ephraim and their sins, so shall your sins be removed from you. That's what he's doing. That's awesome. He said to prophesy to the winds. And we know that it's coming. Matthew 24, when that great trumpet shall sound, and those four angels who are holding back the four winds will release them, will come and gather the elect, and the judgment of Yahweh shall fully fall upon the world. But in the meantime, they're blowing, they're just blowing, no gale force winds in our midst. And they're blowing so that we can know Yahweh greater and fuller. So when we read in the scriptures an east wind, a west wind, when we read about earth or air, or fire. That it comes back to this Bible code of understanding. And we know that Yahweh's got a great plan. And if Yahweh can put all of this together, can't he take care of us too? I look at something like this and I'm just amazed at how awesome he is in his word. And if he can do something like this, I know he can help me pay my bills. He can help me get well soon. He can help me with my problems. He can help me with my pain. He can meet my every need. And he does it by his name, Yahweh.
Thank you again for listening to the Finding EMET radio program. Please visit our website to learn more about the EMET, the truth of the scriptures. Search the Bible, submit your prayer request, or read an article on various subjects. The website is www.findemet.com. That's www.findemet.com. CD copies of this teaching are available for free by submitting a request at the website. Or write to us at EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. That's EMET Ministries, 1310 Trent Street, Newberry, South Carolina, 29108. Thank you again for listening to Finding EMET with Daniel Rendleman. May you find the EMET, and may the truth set you free.